What's up, fans? Welcome back to This Week in the FCL. A lot of crazy stuff going on, and we're here to report it all to you thirsty firsties, the best of fans. That's right. This week, we've got two men competing for a spot in the FCL. It's Brennan Marr versus, look up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's a flying quarter pounder, the flying cow. Which one will have a spot in the FCL? We're going to talk about that. And, of course, our main event, we've got the sinister one, James Shimo, coming in hot and facing off against David, the survivor, Jin Doyen. These two were supposed to cross paths, at least tangentially, in a previous show, but Jin Doyen could not make it. Who will come out the victor this time? Not only are we going to break down the entire match for you, we've got the return of my co-host, Ryan Permison. Happy to have you back on the show with us, Ryan. And a special guest, the Sinister One himself, much like a TV executive entering season three, he loves syndication. It's the Sinister One, James Shimo. All that and more on This Week in the FCL. All right, welcome. As I said, fans, it's fantastic as always to have you here with us on This Week in the FCL. We've got our entire complement. The whole crew is here ready to have a good time, and we've got a very special guest. Let's go around real quick before we get into the news and introduce all of my co-hosts and the Sinister One himself. We've got Mr. Ryan Permison. Ryan, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be back. Good to be here. Looking forward to talking with our guests. We had two very close bouts and matches of This Week in the FCL, so I cannot wait to dive right into it.
And you are a very busy man working out there on the internet, another man who keeps busy giving us all of our great stats. I may not like his attitude, but I love his work. Keith Kilduff.
It's great to be back, and it's great to have Ryan and CB back. And I think, you know, I just want to pay you a compliment, CB, for a second. You've been so amazing the last few weeks getting all these great guests. We had Nick Harley, the inaugural FCL champion. We had the commissioner, Brad Gilmore. And now we've had the first simultaneous Inner Geekdom and Star Wars champion of the Schmo. Oh, wait, no, that didn't happen. Sorry, Jim. Sorry.
Keep talking that mess.
He books all the greatest guests, as mentioned by Mr. Keith Kilduff, in that questionable statement. That's right, super producer, the man on the other end of the radio while you're on those long haul trucking jobs. Listen to him with Jack Burton coming over the airwaves. It's CB Chris Barnes.
I have a feeling this is going to be a long night for me with Keith and James here.
It is going to be a whole lot of fun because, as mentioned, he is here. He is the darkness over the FCL. He is a man coming out hot and facing off against anybody they'll put in front of him, even competing twice in one night. He is the leader of the Sinister Syndicate, and he is the Sinister One himself. That's right, Mr. James Shimo.
Andrew, I appreciate the respect that you gave me in that introduction, truly. And don't worry, I have reviewed the application that you sent along with all of the care packages. It is still under review, but we'll probably be sending out a couple of membership cards here in the next couple of days, so keep an eye on your mailbox for that. But yes, it is excellent to be here. It's good to see at least three of the gentlemen here today. The other one I'll reserve judgment on for the moment. Let's just say there'll probably be a few heated words between myself and this gentleman, as he likes to probably present himself.
Well, as far as I know, in the FCL, the only gentleman is Chris Adams, but we do have a couple kicking around here. And with you lovely gentlemen, including yourself, Mr. Shimo, I'd love to talk about all the news that's fit to print, or in this case, to chat about. In the FCL this week, we've got some great things going on and a few not so great things. So let's start off on a bit of a somber note. Unfortunately, we here at This Week in the FCL would like to wish our best to recent Spotlight Series contestant herself. That's right, one of our favorite competitors in recent memory, Elena Jordan, in the hospital. Our best wishes and our sincere hope for a swift and speedy recovery for you, Elena. Any thoughts, any well wishes that you gentlemen would like to send out?
I think you've covered it off there, Andrew. You know, she brings so much energy and pizzazz to the FCL. The conversation with herself and Ryan was unbelievable, as has all her appearances on all the other after shows. So I can't help but echo everything that you said.
Absolutely, indeed. We do agree. Best of wishes to you, Elena, for a swift and speedy recovery, because we love you. I love the puns, and we also love when people can say they punished something. So on a somewhat related Schmodown note, I want to take a moment and send a personal congratulations to one of the best Inner Geekdom competitors in the history of the Schmodown. If you're on Twitter, you saw the post by Kevin Smet saying he is finally and truly in remission. Way to go, champs. Smash cancer. We were all pulling for you, and we are thrilled that you're going to have so many happy days to look forward to with your family and hopefully back in the Schmodown soon. Lots of love from this week in the FCL, from me personally, and I'm sure from everyone else here. Kevin Smets, way to go, brother.
Indeed. And I actually tweeted out my own personal thoughts to Kevin Smets. I know a lot of people will probably think, oh, this sinister one's a heartless guy. He's a fiend. He doesn't really care about anyone. I'm not a monster. All right. To see someone come through something like that, walking through fire like Dante through the inferno, there's nothing better than to see him come out the other side. So Kevin Smets, well done, sir. Hope to see you back in the ring and maybe be across the ring from you sometime in the future.
We can only hope, but we do know that he's doing better, and that is all that we really want to know for sure. Congratulations once again to you, Kevin Smets. We're all rooting for you, and may every test you get in the future be negative. May everything continue to work out for you 100%. We're all pulling for you. Moving back into the FCL itself, we do have some things that everybody is going to have some opinions on, I'm sure. First and foremost, we want to talk about Travis Fishburne. He showed up in the show. He said to everybody, don't forget about me. I'm still here. I'm ready to compete. I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to make my name in the FCL. What did we all think of the appearance by Travis Fishburne this week? Keith?
I think, listen, Brad highlighted him last week on last week's show as a guy to look out for. His performance in his debut showed that he has something about him. We're seeing him next week in FCL 14. Let's see when the heat's turned up a little bit more, what's in this guy? But listen, he's very entertaining. He's very knowledgeable. And let's see what the future holds with this guy.
Now, I want to jump over to our guest real quick, because Mr. Shimo, this is an individual who you may very well find yourself squaring off against in the future. Travis Fishburne, talking a big game. Any thoughts on this particular FCL competitor?
Well, there's absolutely no denying that he has a very, very strong personality. He's very loud. He's got a lot of energy to him. And to some degree, that is an absolute benefit. However, I feel like he needs a focus. He needs to direct that energy. Just energy for the sake of having it has this tendency to just explode in all directions. When you can fine-tune that, I definitely think he will have a much, much better opportunity at success in the FCL. But don't get me wrong, he definitely has quite the potential, and he may be in the recruiting pile at some way down the line for myself and my associates, shall we say. I don't want to give too much away, but there's always potential, and we are always keeping feelers out.
Well, we don't want to give anything away, but since we're talking about big opinions and a whole lot of energy, I know, Ryan, you're going to have a lot to say about Travis Fishburne.
To be quite honest with you, not really. I mean, you know, he knows how to style and profile. He's got the shades, got the personality, you know, and he's here to stay. He's not going anywhere anytime soon. If he's going to go for the world title, good for him. Wish him the best. And, you know, hey, he's going to keep partying like it's 1985 and he's a reject from Grand Theft Auto Vice City. That's fine with me. No problem. So, Travis Fishburne, wish you the best. You had a good promo and you're here to stay. So, maybe I'll see you in the ring someday. Who knows?
I mean, great fashion on Travis Fishburne. I might have said weekend at Bernie. CB, any thoughts?
I'm very excited again to see Travis again. He was very entertaining. Proved he knew his stuff. He knows his stuff. The thing is, though, obviously, he's facing Chris Adams, but I don't think he should be facing Chris Adams, should he? I don't think that's where that match was heading. Obviously, what do you guys think? Like, Andrew, what do you think about Chris answering Robert's call from Brad? And basically stealing the spotlight on this one.
Well, I mean, we were all called gentlemen, and Chris Adams has been called, of course, a gentleman in the FCL. And I got to say, I hated that. You know me. I hate a man who can't take advantage of an opportunity. I hate someone who goes out there and says all the niceties and the pleasantries. And I just want to have a good time. And I'm representing for you fans. You're out there for yourself. You're doing for number one. And in this case, number one is Chris Adams. To the gentleman, I say to you, sir, kudos and congratulations on taking advantage when the opportunity presented itself and getting yourself that big matchup. Good luck against Fishburne. You deserve it. I mean, that being said, I am just one man. I have my own opinion, and occasionally other people on this show spout opinions that are admittedly slightly less correct than mine, but we have to go around the horn anyway. So what about it, Keith? Chris Adams stealing the match from his own brother.
I mean, I think at a certain stage, listen, I'm an only child, so I don't know. I can't really talk about like family rivalries and stuff. But there's almost
you
a sense
seen
that
the Fast and the Furious movies.
I mean, I'm not directly involved in them, but yes, I did actually see Fast 9 last night, and it was chef's kiss. I will say that I think that Adams is probably in his brother's shadow for a bit too long, and is sick and tired of the older brother constantly getting the first dibs on everything, and, you know, seen the call, took the shot, and said, you know something, you just stay in the back seat. I'll take this one on. Obviously, listen, Robert gets the little notification on his Apple iWatch. So this storyline is not going to close anytime soon, but it's good from a storyline point of view that we're moving towards this Adam Civil War, and I think it's good from a Chris point of view that he's in the spotlight, shall we say.
And as a man very interested in the outcome of these matches and what that could mean for you, James Shimo, do you have thoughts on Adams versus Fishburne? Maybe a favorite, maybe someone you'd like to see come out with the victory?
Well, let's be frank here. If anybody knows anything about taking advantage of opportunities and potentially snaking them away from other people, I mean, look no further. But let's be frank here. When it comes right down to it, let's be real. Respect and familial ties don't win matches. They don't win championships. You can have all the respect in the world for your brother, but at the same time, when you sit in that shadow long enough, look at Owen Hart versus Bret Hart back in the day. He got sick and tired of being put on the back burner, and he decided to make himself a star. And that's exactly what Chris Adams is doing here. And I, for one, applaud the effort. Well done, sir. Make your opportunity, take your own shot, and claim what is rightfully yours. Bravo! That being said, it will be a very interesting turn of events, but for the gentleman, he gets my endorsement. Well done.
Endorsement or kiss of death, I wonder.
Well, I'm sure there is a kiss of death coming from the Sinister Syndicate for anyone who gets in their way. We'll talk more about that. Let's talk about another matchup. And for this one, I'm not even going to give you my opinion to start off with, because I know someone who knows a little bit more about one of the competitors in this matchup, Ryan Permison. You did a wonderful spotlight series with Late to the Party. So we have another upcoming match that we are going to be looking at, Haddad versus Montano. That's right. Robert is returning to the ring against Maxwell Haddad, a name that has been around in FCL circles. We've all seen him online. He's been in the chat for every matchup, and this is an opportunity to see once again what he can do in the ring against a worthy opponent. What do you think about this one, Ryan?
I mean, considering the fact that I had one of the best interviews in the history of interviews with Late to the Party, what's up, folks? My vote is obviously going with Montano. He's going to walk away with this. He's going to be the winner. And who knows? He may actually be the future FCL World Heavyweight Champion, because if anyone deserves it, there are a few competitors that do deserve a shot at that title, if not deserve to have it around their waist or over their shoulder, however they want to wear it. It's okay. No problems here. I'm going with Montano. So, yeah, Montano, you're going to walk away with a W. Why? Because you're just too sweet, man. You're just too sweet. So, yeah, Montano, Late to the Party. Let's celebrate.
Oh, and Keith, I know you always have something to say.
I mean, I'll reserve my thoughts on this match until we get to next week in the FCL segment, if that's all right, Andrew.
Of course, that's fine by me. You know, that's not a bad idea. I might be getting a little excited, but we've got such a wonderful guest here. We've got all sorts of news. And something else on my news document here, I see something about one of my favorite competitors, but that also may be worth holding off to right up until the end. We can figure it out at that point, come up with our theories and our ideas about what's going on with one Andrew Furtado. But that's all the news that's fit to print for this week in the FCL. So we're going to turn it over to our stats man himself as we get into your match breakdowns for this week. Keith Kilduff, take it away.
FCL 13 kicked off this week with a stipulation match broken by the commissioner, Brad Gilmore, last week on This Week in the FCL, where the Flying Cow and Brennan Maher were going to face off for the right for an FCL contract. The Flying Cow is a guy who I believe has a nice little YouTube channel. He also runs a Disney Schmodown adjacent, similar sort of league at the moment, whereas Brennan Maher is a guy who I've seen pop up on a lot of Patreon kind of like call-ins. So obviously we would know going in that they have a fair amount of knowledge kind of assigned to them, and they showed that in round one coming in 7-7. They both missed the third question, which is in comedies, this Melissa McCarthy, Sandra Bullock, Marlon Wayans 2013 Paul Feig movie. They both say Spy, but of course the correct answer being The Heat. There's a couple of nice little questions in here. Another movie release dates question, Return of the King, Bruce Almighty, Bad Boys 2, franchises Jet Li and Chris Rock are in what installment of Lethal Weapon franchise, the fourth one. And then I think the director, the sibling duo that's done Burn After Reading, True Grit. 7-7, lots of character, lots of correct answers. Ryan, what were your initial thoughts?
Yeah, I knew nothing about these competitors going in, and they put up a heck of a showing in this match overall, and including round one. Yes, granted, one competitor looks like he had one too many glasses of milk for his cereal in the morning, and he actually ended up turning into a cow to the point where he may have flashed back to 97 with Jan de Bont's Twister and got on the phone with his friends like, honey, I gotta go, we got cows. And that was probably him as that cow, and then he became a human years later. I don't know. And the mystical Brennan Maher, heck of a showing, does well, answers the questions one by one by one by one by one. So impressive debut by both competitors during the course of round one, and some good questions. And by the way, I would not have missed the question. I knew that from the get-go. But other than that, good round.
Andrew, you're a guy who's big on characters, so everything that the Flying Cow was doing, you must have been just eaten up.
I mean, you got to love the energy from the Flying Cow. This is somebody who went out there and said, I am going to entertain you, whether you want me to or not, and committed 100% to it. I got to say, a lot of love for the work by him. A lot of love by both competitors for a pretty good first round. 7 out of 8, not too bad. Solid score for everybody involved. The thing is, here at the FCL, we've been doing a few things for you. We break down the matches, sure. We talk about the competitors, and we have wonderful guests like Mr. James Shimo on our show. But another thing that we do here on This Week in the FCL is we have our obligatory Sandra Bullock reference. And you missed The Heat? Come on, guys. You got to watch the show. You got to pay attention. And you got to show some respect to the queen of the 90s, the woman, Sandy B herself. That's right. It's not about Meryl Streep anymore. It's all Bullock all the time. And that's all I have to say about that.
Clark Wolf would be proud.
Shimo, actually, I want to come to you because you're in a really interesting position in the FCL in that you've had a winning debut and you've had a losing debut all in the same night. It's quite extraordinary, really. So just from kind of your point of view, how's that kind of like feeling before going live, before coming in on the stream, before getting ready to kind of answer questions? What's kind of like the emotions and feelings that you usually kind of feel?
Well, you're... slightly askewed comments aside, there are always nerves when it comes to beginning any worthwhile endeavor. You're not sure if it's going to work out. You're not sure what the outcome is going to be. So naturally, both of these gentlemen, definitely had that nervous energy. The Flying Cow obviously committed to using that as a drive behind his character, whereas Maher obviously used it to fuel his knowledge and his thought process, which is fantastic. A veritable cornucopia of diverse knowledge between them. But yes, missing The Heat, I mean, please. You got to put some respect not only on Sandra Bullock's name, but Melissa McCarthy, who despite a handful of subpar projects, has done very, very well for herself in this business. So, I mean, let's be respectful here. But no, both gentlemen obviously had that nervous energy and channeled it very effectively into a very, very well-scoring round.
CB, let's talk about round two. So obviously, as I've alluded to, the Flying Cow has this Disney kind of schmodown adjacent sort of league run. So you have to feel that on the wheel slice, he's put on Disney. That I think that's fair to say based on this kind of knowledge. Yeah. I think it's very hard to kind of pinpoint what Brennan's strength could be. So there's Jack Nicholson, there's 90s, there's Sandler, Black Cinema, Holiday Films comes back, Mel Brooks, Sports, Kurt Russell. And we see something that we haven't seen all season where both competitors get opponent's choice. How do, like, in these situations where there's little to no tape on these people, like, how tough is it picking something and hoping that you're going to trip somebody up?
I mean, it's very tough. It's not something I've had the experience with because I'm too scared to play. But, you know, if you have, if you don't know the person from Adam, you got to look at, you know, the broad categories, I think, the ones you want to look at, the ones that I'm trying to think of, like, maybe decades, maybe, you know. I mean, I know, was it Brennan? Did he give the Flying Cow?
Oscars,
yeah. See, and that is a good one as well, because that's, you know, the Oscars have been going for a long time. So, is
that?
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not aware of that.
No, I didn't know nothing about it until.
I just found out last year, Ryan. It's okay.
Yeah.
I found out 3 years ago before Earth closed for the next five. So,
yeah. There's something about La La Land, and that's when it started for me. I'm not sure. But,
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, but no, you need to give, it's hard, I think, if you don't know what their strengths are, and you need to give them what. For me, I'll probably look at giving something that I know I'm good at where I could get some steals if you don't know from Adam what they are. So that's the way I think I would go with it.
So listen, as we've alluded to, Oscars is what's given to the Flying Cow, and he holds throw. He goes 8-for-8. Renee Zellweger comes up. Mia Sorvino's first Oscar in 95. What film did Susan Sarandon win an Oscar for? And then what category did 2018's A Star Is Born win its Oscar for Best Song? I think this is a really strong showing by the Cow, even though, like, getting kind of hit with that opponent's choice, never what you really want. Comes up to Mar, he gets opponent's choice also. And then in the same point, like, again, it's hard to know when you don't quite know what way to go. Gives him Jack Nicholson and doesn't hold his throat completely. On the second question, the 87 George Miller question, tips down to multiple choice of The Witches of Eastwick. We get a question about As Good As It Gets. We get The Departed and we get One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. 15-14. Andrew, what were your thoughts on round number two?
I mean, this is a tough round, too. You are correct. There is a strategic element to it when your opponent gets opponent's choice, and made even worse when you don't know all that much about the person that you're facing. I've talked strategy before, and I've made a few assumptions and a few suggestions to some of our competitors. The most important one, I'm going to say it again, folks. I'll just say it now, because later in the match, these competitors do a good job with it. JTE, remember that one. But if you don't know your opponent's choice, if you don't know what's on the wheel for them, then here's a thought. Give them your category. What did you put on the wheel? There's a chance they're not as good at it as you are. And if they're not, they might miss. And if they miss, that's your best chance to pick up those steals. And as I've mentioned many times before, round number two is a very important round because of the swing of it all. When you miss a question, you don't get the points. And then when your opponent gets it, they do. It's effectively double value on two-point questions, making a missed question in round two by your opponent almost as valuable as your five-pointer at the end of the match. So if you have nothing else to go on, you don't want to pick a broad category, which is a good idea. I think Oscars was a great pick. I think very good choice to give yourself something like a decade and spread it out. But if you don't know, then, hey, give them what you got and hope you're good at whatever you spend afterwards. Maybe it's not the best move, but it might be the best move you have at the time.
Ryan, anything else to add? There's a few tasty questions in there. It feels like the round twos are going to start heating up over the next few weeks.
Yes, they most certainly are. But these were great questions. Both, yeah, but they both get. I mean, who likes to get opponent's choice? Whether it's your debut match or your 1,000th match, nobody. But they went through it pretty darn well. So my hat's off to both competitors. So not too much I can add about round two, but good job to both.
Shimo, let's talk round three, because again, alluding to your career so far, you've been in a situation where you've been down and not going into round three. So what's the feeling on both sides of the track?
Going into round three, let's face it, you never want to be down going into round three. It's just a given fact. But if you are, you know, trailing going in, you want it to be by the slimmest of point margins possible. So that way you can make up for it as easily as possible, especially in this situation, 15-14. All he's got to do is hit that two-point question, he's back up, and then it's a ping-pong game back and forth. It's a matter of who blinks first. It's a giant game of chicken. That's the way it works. Obviously, when you're down a little bit further, that opportunity becomes less and less, and it's a lot more pressure on you to get it right and then hope that your opponent gets it wrong, which is never a position that you want to be in.
So let's move into round three. As Marr is up with his two-pointer in comedies. Who directs 16 Candles, Uncle Buck and Breakfast Club? John Hughes. Fires back to the cows too. Ed Harris category. Who directed 2005's A History of Violence? David Cronenberg. Misses that one. Big, 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 big miss by the cow. On his three, 2010s. Interesting question here. How many Transformers films were released in the decade? At the last second, pulls a four. To Andrew's point, not using the JTEs, even though in this instance, I really feel like this is potentially one where you're trying to figure out, you know, 10 years in one kind of go, 15 seconds maybe isn't enough time. Pulls it back to Mar on the three. Tom Cruise, how many times has he kind of collaborated with Spielberg? Twice, Minority Report and War of the Worlds. And then it's all on the cows, five. Movie release dates. A nice little change of the wording again to this kind of question. Nicolas Cage is in two movies in 98. City of Angels is one. And what other Brian De Palma movie? He says 8mm. The answer is Snake Eyes. And your winner. And your contract. Brennan Mar, 1918. Shimo, what were your thoughts?
I mean, this was a very, very interesting matchup. Again, you get that the two-pointer from Marr. He gets up. Then, of course, the cow missing his. That's huge. When you whiff on that, and then, again, the pressure comes back on you to get the next one right, and then, again, puts the control in the hands of your opponent is very, very difficult. Again, I will say this. JTE may not know how to pronounce certain things. I'm still trying to figure out what a Triceratops taurus tatus tops is. But the development of the JTE rule is to the benefit of the competitor. In that situation, if you are stumped, always use it. You'll notice in my match, I waited till the last possible second to use those JTEs to give myself that time to continue to think through it, even as the question's being asked. It's not so much about hearing the question again, it's about giving that extra thought process time. The cow definitely could have benefited from that here, but doesn't take that opportunity. It comes back to be his Achilles heel. Hopefully that's a lesson he'll take forward with him in the future. As far as Marr goes, played it as, you know, cool and confident as he could, ended up with a W. He's got the contract, and we'll see in the future where the FCL takes him. But I got to say, at least the future is looking good so far.
Yeah, CB, it's a solid performance by Marr. There's a few misses. There's a few things that he can potentially work on. But I think all in all, it's a good day's work at the office.
Yes, I have to agree. And I think it was, you know, apart from the odd strategic issue, like not using the JTs as well as it should, I think the flying cow also did a great job today. And it's like, it was a, you know, it's a shame it was for like that contract within the FCL that this was match was on it, because you can't not see the flying cow being back at some point. I think his performance was good enough, but you're right, Brennan Mar, he was, you know, almost flawless today. Yes, the odd miss, but you know, first match nerves, maybe first time in there, but apart from that, I just think he was fantastic, and I'm looking forward to seeing where he goes next.
Ryan, what were your thoughts on the wording of the movie release dates five-pointer? Just changing it up a little bit differently.
No, I think it was fair. You know, you can't have the same kind of formula, you know, every single time. You got to switch things up once in a while. You got to switch gears and keep the competitors on their toes. So with the movie release date question, it makes perfect sense. And then also, my hat's off to both competitors. They really did really, really well. Because you don't, like I said, I knew nothing about these individuals going into this matchup. So my hat's off to both of them. Flying cow, granted, you may need to cut back on the sauce. In this case, it's milk. Go with 1%. Stop drinking your 2%. Just have two bowls of Honey Nut Cheerios because it's part of a complete breakfast, and you'll call me in the morning and thank you later. And as far as Brennan Mar goes, yeah, he's got that contract. He's going to sign on the dotted line. His future looks pretty bright, thus, you know, for the moment. See how he does in his next matchup. But yeah, two unknowns making a big splash within their debuts here in the FCL. So Brad, Steph, the executives, all the people sitting in the backstage area and those corporate, you know, headquarters, you know, making those plans. Excellent work. I mean, you know, in the words of James Earl Jones, impressive. Most impressive. So there you go.
Andrew, we're seeing again people leaving repeats on the table. I know you've mentioned it earlier, but it's just these things that just you can't do it when you're in these positions, I feel.
I mean, strong competition from both of these guys. I do have a lot of respect for them. Maybe strategy comes with time, but I will continue to say it, and I'll say it nicely. I'll say it quietly. I'll say it loudly and scream it from the rooftops. That extra 15 seconds may be all the difference that you need. That extra repeat of the question may give you a context clue that you missed the first time. Anything you can do to give yourself another advantage, especially in round three, especially on your five-pointer, especially at the end of a match. But I would like to mirror everything that CB said about the Flying Cow. This is an exciting individual. Hopefully someone in the FCL is looking at getting him back in. Maybe Mr. Shimo, you and the Sinister Syndicate might be looking for some bovine recruitment. Maybe somebody else wants someone on their team, or maybe Brad Gilmore will just have some discussions with him and bring him back in. We would love to see the Flying Cow return, because what a great amount of energy. And Brennan Marr, no nonsense, got the job done. Very impressive victory. Got to give him kudos as well. Congratulations to you, Mr. Marr, for making it into the FCL. Remember your JTEs.
Listen, let's close the book on the first match and move on to the main event involving the man in the middle, Shimo versus Jindoyin. Okay, I need to just compose myself for a second here to talk about this guy. This was meant to happen.
Very distracting. It's fine.
I mean, you're there sitting in your grandmother's chair. I mean, there's nothing really distracting around, but I'll try and find a way to get
through. You're still living in her house. Let's move on.
I mean, I'm in the good room. That's the difference. I'm in the major room, which is the best thing here, Shimo. But listen, FCL 5 was when this was meant to happen. It didn't. You pulled a few tricks with your society, as I like to call it. Yes, I know I called it wrong. Do you know why? Because I don't care about it. It's probably the most boring thing that's happened in the FCL this season. But we'll get to that.
Well, if anyone knows boring, I'm sure you're the authority.
I am, to be fair. But I'm getting better. That's the thing. I'm taking on some feedback that I'm receiving every week from the guys, from the fans. But we're getting there. I appreciate you noticing that I am boring. But what did you genuinely think of Jindoyin going into this?
Listen, I've said it before and I will say it again. This was not about any sort of malice. This was not about any sort of ill will that I bore towards David. In fact, a lot of people have been misquoting this again. I was not originally scheduled to face David. He was scheduled to face Sonny. Mm. I took that opportunity away from him. And again, it was never anything personal. It was simply business. It was about putting myself out there, showing what I could do to further my stock. That's all there was to it. Now, did he take it personally? Certainly, and we've seen it. And we've seen his obsession get worse and worse and worse. Blaming me for his barbecue grill being out of propane? I mean, seriously, like, why would I care about anything like that? So, bottom line, going into this match, I had all the faith in the world in David's abilities. I saw what he did when he finally got the chance to debut, and he did very well. So I knew he was going to bring the best out of me, and why was he able to do that? Because I stoked that fire in his belly, because I gave him a direction, a purpose. So, if nothing else, David, I'm still waiting on that thank you, but I'll be the bigger man. You're welcome, sir.
So round one ends 7-6. To David, not to Shimo, after all the talking and this, that, and the other, and him being so great. David misses the first question in Action Adventure, the 2016 biographical war drama with Andrew Garfield, directed by Mel Gibson, Hacksaw Ridge. There's a couple of nice questions in the middle. This is a nice little horror thriller, 73 Academy Award nominated movie. The Exorcist comes into play. Michael Myers comes into play in comedies. 1990s, the 92 Disney movie that won 2 Oscars. And then you missed 2 questions, James. You missed the movie release dates question, Aaron Brockovich and Traffic, 2001. You don't show your answer because you're very, very embarrassed that you got that wrong. And then you missed the famous actor and actress question, who played 90s Dick Tracy and 91's Bugsy. Warren Beatty being the answer there. 7-6. CB, what were your thoughts on round one and everything before it?
This is not going well.
I keep warning
you, Chris. This may be the first guest that actually walks out on us. But like I said, I don't like to judge, said many times, on people's what their knowledge. If I know the answer to a question, I feel like they probably should. It was a bad miss, Jindoyin's first one, the Hacksaw Ridge one. I think, you know, it was a recent film. It was question one as well. They gave you the main actor and the director in there, and that it was an action movie. That was a bad miss. And that's kind of main thing I have to say about that. And obviously, James missed the movie release dates. Was it Aaron Brockovich was the answer?
Yeah, right?
I believe. Yeah. As many people have said, and I've said many times, movie release dates, it can be a tough category. You know, normally you get yourself, you know, if people generally, if people miss, they're only a year out. You know what I mean? It's one of those things. It's like, well, say with movie release dates on round two, I don't see the point of going to multiple choice because you know it's going to give you the year you think it is, and then 2 years either way, or 1-2 years either way. So, can't blame anyone for missing the movie release date, even if it is a round one. I didn't know it personally, so I don't like to judge too harshly on people missing them. And the last one, the Warren Beatty one, yeah, it's, they're older movies. I mean, personally, I would have got it from the Dick Tracy anyway. But generally, it was a pretty good round. It's just, I just think that Jim Doyle miss was not a very good, like, that was pretty rough. You know, I don't want to be too harsh, but I'm saying it was a rough one.
Ryan, how are you getting on pulling in your reps on Tuesday night playing along?
Yeah, Warren, the Dick Tracy, definitely would have gotten that one. As far as the Traffic one, I'll be honest, I was thinking 2001 myself. I really was. It was like 2000. It seems it's in the 2000s, but I don't think it's that early. I thought it was 2001, but no, it's 2000. Son of a. All right, so I would have missed that. I'm bummed. I was really thinking it was 2001. I don't know what you're doing to me, IMDb. But anyway, yeah, the other questions I pretty much would have gotten right. Definitely the Dick Tracy one. I'm a 90s kid. 90s kid. We all grew up watching Dick Tracy. What can I say? But yeah, would have gotten that one. And then what was the other question that he missed? It was, Hacksaw Ridge. Yeah, I easily would have gotten that one. I saw that baby in the theater. That's a darn good horror film. A very underrated film in my, and somewhat of an underrated film in my opinion. But yeah, other than that, missing, what was it called? Warren Beatty and Dick Tracy. If you grew up in the 90s, you have no idea what you're missing, kids. But other than that, it was a good round, and both competitors, hey, a little bit of a shaky start, but they can shake it off, dust themselves off, get back up, and go into round two.
Andrew, David, strong performance, 7 out of 8, and also strong arms in that sleeveless FCL t-shirt.
I mean, the sun's out and the guns are out for David Jindoyan, but maybe a little more consideration on that question that he did miss. This is a great time for me to say that both these competitors, they did what they could in the round, yourself included, Mr. Shimo. They got the points they could get out of it. And what I want to talk about, fans, right now is something that's come up on Twitter. It's come up in the chat rooms. It's come up over and over and over as we talk to people about the FCL and we hear what you think out there. And that is the question of difficulty. What makes a difficult question? What is an easy question? When does a question not to belong in the round that it's placed in? And here's how I can frame that for you. I would have forgotten about Hacksaw Ridge. I would not have gotten that question. Movie has completely left my mind since it came out somehow. At the same time, I vividly remember the very first time that I went into a movie theater and saw it on the big screen, my eyes going wide, the glory and the magic of the movies coming into my eyes was Warren Beatty's Dick Tracy. So for me, the easiest question in the damn world, it's literally the first thing I think of when I think of movies. It's always subjective. There's always difficulty in it. And that's why I harp so heavily on the strategy. That's why I say, take your time, use the JTs, listen carefully to the questions, the context clues, see what else they can give you to get that point, because every point is worth fighting for. And Mr. Shimo falling behind by 1 point in this match, but unlike my co-host, I'm not going to say you missed an easy question. I'm not going to say you didn't play as well as Jindoyan. Yes, you were behind, but you did what you could. You got your questions. You stayed solid through the round, and you made sure to not let it rattle you. I think you handled yourself incredibly well, and I thank my co-hosts for being just a little too harsh on the wonderful, charismatic guests that we have on today. Please, 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 Mr. Shimo, do come back and don't listen to everything they're saying. I think it was a good round for both competitors.
You know, Andrew, it bears repeating. One of the wisest men in all of Westeros, Tywin Lannister, once said, "The lion does not concern himself with the opinions of sheep." And neither do I. When it comes down to these kind of questions, sure, you miss one every once in a while. You let it slide off your back. You don't obsess over it, because when you do, that takes your mind off the focus of where it should be. The next question, what is going on and where you can move forward? I don't obsess over that. Hacksaw Ridge, if I didn't have such a close tie to the actual story of Desmond Doss, I might have even missed that. But because I was in a stage production in college that actually focused on that story, obviously, it had a special place in my heart before I saw the movie. Dick Tracy, not so much. Was I aware of the film? Yes. Am I familiar with the character? Yes. Couldn't tell you who played him. Just was a thing. It was something I had seen the trailer at one point, and I missed it. You know, it is a thing. And as far as, you know, the Aaron Brockovich Traffic question, much like with Ryan, I thought 2001 as well. So that's the way that it goes. You know, every once in a while, the numbers get jumbled up, and it doesn't come out the right way. So again, you can't let it wear you down. Can't obsess over it. All you can do is keep going.
So moving into round two, Shimo takes his below average, league average round one score of 6, takes his deferral on the chin, spins, gets John Hughes and goes 6 of 8, missing the third question, which I think I'll give you a little bit of a, I'll give you a little bit of rope on this one. The Office actor which makes his debut in Curly Sue, you go down to multiple choice, you say Ed Helms, that's wrong. David tries to steal with Rainn Wilson. That's wrong. The answer being Steve Carell. I almost felt like in the moment, like the obvious answer was the answer, but it couldn't have been the answer, really. You get the other three, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is asked, who plays Ferris Bueller? And then in Home Alone 2, the Wet Bandits are renamed as what? Sticky Bandits. But am I right in my comment regarding question 3, Mr. Shimo?
In this case, I will give credit where credit is due. Your assessment is 100% accurate. The obvious answer just seemed a little too obvious. You know, to me, the first thing I truly ever saw Steve Carell in was 40-Year-Old Virgin. I had no clue he had actually, you know, been in something earlier than that. So, yes, that is 100% accurate in your assessment. Everything else, again, accurate as well. I grew up on Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Ferris Bueller was one of my favorite films growing up. I could quote it incessantly. You know, the whole 9 times sticking a lump of coal up somebody's you know where in order to make it all of that. So
you're a big fan of Abe Froman, the Sausage King of Chicago.
Absolutely. Oh, and of course, lest we forget the 1961 Ferrari 250 GT California. But yes, so absolutely. John Hughes has been a huge, huge influence on my movie watching career. And yeah, it just turned out that I psyched myself out of the right answer. Happens to everybody every once in a while.
That's very true. So listen, it's on to David. He spins, comic book movies coming up, decides to take it. I was actually a bit surprised, giving that your feedback at the start of the year pre-draft about where you were looking to kind of play in division-wise. I thought that might was a bold move by David. But listen, holds his throw, goes 8 for 8. There's a kick-ass question, Bloodshot, Cameron Diaz's debut in The Mask, and then who played Dredd in Judge Dredd. 8 for 8, 15-12. Ryan, thoughts on round two overall?
Yeah, the round two was really, really well done in terms of the questions and the categories, all that stuff. The John Hughes, you got comic movies, you know, those are kind of a big deal in my head. So, you know, comic movies is a good category. Obviously, John Hughes is a living legend, you know, legend in his own right. So, yeah, round two was fun to watch. It really was, going back and forth, tit for tat, punch for punch, kick for kick, you know, vertical suplex for pile driver, if you want to use wrestling terminology there, Shimo. So anything's possible. Anything can happen. So my hat's off. Great round two and great questions. I was very, very happy with those questions, especially some of the more recent CBM movies. Like, no one ever saw this movie, Bloodshot, unless you saw the version that Bat in the Sun did on YouTube with JDF, a.k.a. Jason David Frank. And then you got, what was the other one? Dredd. Great, great, really, really good film. Carl Urban. That guy eats, sleeps, breathes nerdom, man. That guy is a nerd times 12. Carl, if I ever see you at a convention, it'll be good to see you. Can't hope to meet him one day, because Carl Urban, you're a giant nerd, my friend. But yeah, great questions, great categories, good tunes, good brew, good buddies. I just feel great watching these rounds, Keith. I feel great.
CB, did you think that Jim Doyne was playing with fire taking comic book movies, given the Man in the Middle's previous comments at the start of the year?
Yeah, so I did a little bit. And to be fair, I always also think comic book movies, you know, unless you are... you would think it's a strength. There's so many of them. You know, it can come from anywhere. It's just a risk in that sense. Like James here, obviously he took John Hughes when it comes to directors. It was John Hughes. That's a smart move taking that one because, you know, even if you've got a decent knowledge of John Hughes, he's only got 8 movies he directed, I believe. I believe that's correct. So it's a small pool you're going to be getting asked questions from, whereas comic book movies, well, there's 20 odd just Marvel ones, right? Just from the MCU. That's not included. 23, there you go.
Yeah.
That's not including all of the other stuff. So I think it was a risky move. But you know, he went through it, he cleared through it, so fair play to him.
Andrew, I want to come to you because I know the last couple of weeks we've talked about this 5-point gap looking to go into round three with, but I want to put a different spin on it and I want to get your view on this regarding a 4-point gap. So obviously David has missed the potential steal, which would give him a 16-12 lead. Obviously, with the 5-point gap, the 2 and the 3 evens up the balance of play. But I'm just wondering, with a 4-point gap, is it nicer in the sense, obviously you want to be up by more, obviously, but in the case of a 4-point gap, that 2 and the 3 is still in play, and then you're only down by 1 and the 2 flips it more so. So I just want to kind of get your eyes on just and view just on terms of a 4 to a 5-point gap.
Well, I mean, I got to say, kudos to all of you. Keith, you've been saying a lot of things today, most of them incorrect, but you did get one right. I think comic book movies as a pick for opponent's choice, bad choice. For his wheel choice, unless he's very, very confident. Generally speaking, I'm looking at James Schemo right now, and I see a Funko Pop in the background of his shot. The truth is, if I see a Funko Pop in your shot when you're competing and comic book movies is on the wheel, I probably don't want it against you. But you have a good question about the difference in points. And going into round 3, I've harped on it so many times, that 5 points is a magic location, because 1 point up, 1 point down really changes the way that the match is going forward. If you have a 4-point gap, you need to get over your opponent. You need to put that pressure back on them. I think with a 4-point gap, it's far more important to try and push your 2 and your 3 and put the pressure back on your opponent. You want to take that lead as fast as possible and see what they're going to miss. Know whether or not your 5 is going to get you there, because in the end, it's going to come down to the 5 one way or the other. It really is. The assumption that anyone is going to be missing a 2 and a 3, both in their round, is basically impossible in the FCL. Anybody who's here to compete is going to be able to pick up one of those. Fantastic, fantastic thing to do is to have that 5-point, that 6-point gap especially. But if you have the 4, you've got to attack. Put the pressure on. Make your opponent answer multiple questions. Don't just wait for your 5. But on the plus side, if you are in that position and you can get to the 4 instead of the 5, remember, that 5 could still save your life. If by some miracle your opponent may not be able to get any of their round 3 questions, but who would miss all of their round 3 questions?
Let's move into round 3. So it's on you, Schemo. 2-pointer, Matt and Ben, Affleck's directorial debut, Gone Baby Gone. You missed a 3-pointer in Black Cinema, who played Sid, the sister of Marcus in Bad Boys 2. You use a repeat, Gabrielle Union is the answer. Unfortunately, you didn't pull it. And then in the 5, fantasy sci-fi, 2005's Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, who voiced Marvin? Alan Rickman. So you're up. Then it's all on Jin Doyen. 3 questions. It's all on him, whether he's going to get the W or not. Misses his 2-pointer in Animated. Robin Williams was in 2 movies in 92. Aladdin being 1. And what was the other one? Fern Gully, The Last Rainforest. You knew it. You played a little bit of character. You got into his head, kind of telling him what the answer was almost. I did appreciate that in the moment. I don't know whether you meant it or not, but I'll give you the credit if you did. David takes his 3. Pixar 2009 film with characters such as Russell and Ellie up. And then it's all on the 5. Denzel Washington, 2004 Jonathan Denny movie, reworked from its 1962 version, starring Denzel, Meryl Streep, and John Voight. Hits a couple of repeats, starts using his whiteboard. Almost feels like in the moment it's getting a bit much for David. He starts kind of like dropping things, dropping his pen, says the bone collector at the last second. Unfortunately, the answer to the question was the Manchurian Candidate, and your winner, 2-1, James Schemo. You must have been quite, quite happy to have gotten out of jail with that one.
Again, the obviously biased commentary aside, I absolutely was ecstatic with the turnout of the match, to be fair. Like, honestly, you hear the category Black Cinema, you don't expect to hear a Bad Boys question, to be fair. You know, that qualifies to me at least more for an action adventure kind of area. No disrespect to Miss Gabrielle Union. She is a phenomenal actress. Just in the moment, let's face it, when it comes to Bad Boys, you're not going in expecting high art. You're not going in looking for awards consideration or anything like that. You're going to turn your brain off, and mine just turned off a little bit more than normal. Okay. So obviously that detail slipped through my radar, but yes, in regards to my 5-pointer, Alan Rickman, like, how could I disrespect Severus Snape, the greatest Hogwarts professor of all time? I mean, let's put some respect on the man's name. But yes, obviously playing a little gamesmanship, throwing out the Fern Gully knowledge in David's 2-point question was absolutely the intent. It was an attempt to play mind games, to get into his head, to try to throw him off. And obviously it worked. So bottom line, I still have all the respect in the world for David. He is a fantastic competitor. But bottom line, he was in my way, and I needed to take him off the board to get to my goal. And now that he is, I can now focus on what truly matters.
Ryan, did you know the five-pointer 2004 Manchurian candidate?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. When you say Denzel, when you say so-and-so, when you drop the name Liev Schreiber, a.k.a. Sabretooth, when you drop those names of Denzel and Liev Schreiber in a film together, I'm like, Manchurian candidate, baby. I remember. I was there. I saw that baby in a theater on DVD. I can't remember which format it was, but I was there. So I definitely would have been able to put out that five-pointer. By the way, Fern Gully in 92, I didn't know it was 92, but at the same time, when he says two films in the 90s, I'm thinking, okay, Aladdin was certainly one. What was the other one? Oh, yeah, Fern Gully. He was Blind Bat. I can't see. Like, I remember vaguely a few lines from Fern Gully, The Last Rain, which, by the way, I should do a rewatch of that and see if it holds up 35-plus years
it
later.
Doesn't.
Sorry. Hey, let me decide. I need to rewatch it. Don't ruin it for me. But anyway, aside from that, yes, Keith, I would have been able to pull that five, come out with potentially a W, move on to greener pastures. Who knows?
CB, obviously David moves to 1-1 now. Off the top of my head, I'm kind of thinking Jared Habon might be a nice little matchup for him.
That would be a way to go. Obviously, I like to try and keep them with the similar records where they're going. So Jared Habon, David Joyn, but to be honest, I think Jim Doyen's probably a bit better than Habon. I think if you see a Jim Doyen versus Habon match, I think Jim Doyen will take that. You know, mm-hmm. I think he showed in this first match and in this match, you know, he struggled. Obviously, he had a nightmare of a third round in this match where he just, you know, didn't get anything, just like I didn't get anything while I was powering along. You know, it's fine. But so I think if he does go with Habon, it's a good move for him because it will get him that 2-1 record, I believe. And then we can start looking, putting him in the categories with maybe the Chris Adamses and the people of that nature. Or against the Flouse, because he's only 1-0. I know he's the champion, but...
I really have a feeling that by the time we get around, Flouse isn't going to hold that belt anymore. But let you know, Chris, enjoy it while you can, Chris. I think it's an important time for you.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's not put in the contract somewhere that there'd be no title matches for an entire year. So he's going to have it for a year.
More like a decade.
Yeah.
Andrew, wrap up round three for us.
All right, round three, David Jim Doyen, Mr. Sinister himself, James Shimo, coming at each other. And Shimo coming in with the gap to fill up. He needs to get ahead of his opponent. He needs to win this round. And David Jim Doyen is going to lose the round for himself by missing every question. You might think, I'm going to crow about it. I'm going to praise Mr. Shimo and put down Mr. Jim Doyen. But the truth of the matter is, this is the kind of round three that I like to see, despite the misses. Do you know what David Jim Doyen did? He took his time. He did get a little bit rattled, but he fought back against it. He used his JTEs, and at the end, on the most important question, the five-pointer, he thought about Denzel, because that's an actor that was in his head. And he made what I think is a very solid guess, if you don't know the answer, in The Bone Collector. My opinion on round three is David Jim Doyen played his heart out, but it was not his day-to-day. And I will go full revival preacher out in the streets praising James Shimo, praising the Sinister One, and his glory rising up in the FCL. But I will say about this round three that we had two competitors who came in, laid it all on the table, and I don't think mistakes were made by either one. Good strategy, good trash talk, good use of the resources put in front of you by both men. So David Jim Doyen, please come back. Fight hard. We love to see you in the ring. You do deserve another shot after a performance like this. But to you, Mr. Shimo, the man himself, true congratulations on your big W. Well deserved and well fought.
I appreciate that, Andrew.
Shimo, you obviously didn't know the answer to David's five, considering the outburst of joy yourself at the end.
Oh, you just love to take your shots where you can. But yes,
I'm just reporting the news as I see it. It's not my fault.
Let me stop you right there. To quote somebody who I respect far more than you do, let me stop you right there.
I didn't ask you to respect me.
Like anyone else, like any other pundit or reporter, you report on what you perceive and what you want to see. You see, human beings are like this. They see only what they want. They create their own stories. When you so callously said that when you wondered aloud why I was even competing in singles when I professed that I wanted to be a Star Wars and an Intergeekdom champion, did I ever say that I didn't know singles? No, I did not. You read into that situation what you wanted, and then you reported it. So in the future, much like you continue to misquote the Sinister Syndicate as the Sinister Society, I would recommend you do a little bit further digging and actually look at both sides of the equation and not be Fox News for crying out loud. Thank you very much.
We are an independent network. We don't. We're not associated with Fox News. But listen, thank you very much for your 2 minutes. And with that, let's look forward to what's going on next week in the FCL.
You know, we want guests back.
Well, if you thought this week was something, wait until you see what goes down next week. So next week, we got Travis Fishburne going up against Chris Adams, who didn't take the very gentlemanly approach of taking that call from the commish, the chairman, the boat. Brad Gilmore says, hey, forget about my brother. Let me sub in for this match for you. I'll do it. Yeah, sure. So he's going to take an opportunity where it knocks. He's going to answer the door, bust right through it. Is he going to come out with a W? I don't know. But he's going up against the reject from Grand Theft Auto Vice City, Travis Fishburne. We'll see how that shakes out. And then you've got Maxwell Dye going up against Robert Montano. Oh, my goodness gracious. You know how I feel about this. You know how I feel about LTTP, Late to the Party. Two of the coolest kids on the planet. Two of the best things since sliced bread, if I do say so myself. So clearly you know who I'm rooting for with the Montano-Haddad match. But with Fishburne and Adams, could go either way because they're both good competitors. They know their stuff. Chris Adams has had a bit of a struggle, so I think I'm going to go with Fishburne on this one, respectfully. Sorry, gentlemen. Plus, when you pick up the phone and answer it for your brother, that's not very gentlemanly. You know, they say manners maketh the man. You didn't display good manners, young sir, so I think you're in a bit of trouble with Travis Fishburne. That's just my 2 cents on the matter. But I'm just curious. Andrew, who do you got in these matchups?
I got to say, I mean, Travis Fishburne did impress me in his previous work. I think he's done a lot for himself, for his character. Really, really stands out. And in this matchup here, you got Chris Adams, who I already gave those kudos to. When Brad Gilmore comes calling, hey, when he said on Twitter, when am I going to be on This Week in the SEL, I said, screw the other guys. Come on my show, Brad. I'll do it all by myself if you want me to. And Chris Adams is doing exactly the same thing, capitalizing when the opportunity arises. When Brad Gilmore comes calling, you don't call your brother back from the other room. You take that match, and that's a killer instinct that is going to serve him well. Will it be Magnum PI or will it be Guy Ritchie's The Gentleman? I don't know who it's going to be, but I'm going to give the slight edge to Adams because I think he's ready to sink that dagger deep into his opponent's back, just like he did to Robert when he took the match from him.
Interesting. So, producer, pay no attention to that man behind the curtain, CB. Who you got in these matches?
Fishburne Adams, for me, it could probably go either way. I was very impressed with Travis Fishburne on his first match against Fred Klein, I believe it was. But they're both rookies come in. But he showed he knows his stuff and he's very, very entertaining. So, you know, which way would I want it to go? Possibly Fishburne. But Chris Adams, he's got a point to prove. And obviously he's trying to claw everything claw himself out of his brother's shadow, I suppose. And the disco started again. Sorry, everyone. Flouse has turned up again. This light is
a. It's all right. We all prepare for the show by watching the Flirt and Flouse music video.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a secret. We'll give it away to you exclusively now, fans.
Well, I'm not cutting any of this out, so we're going to carry on. Just the Flouse turned up. You can wait till later on. So for me, Fishburne, that's the way I want it to go. Whether it will, I don't know. I think it's going to be a tough match. Haddad, Montano. Well, Maxwell, we kind of said leading up to his first match, he's been very noisy on the social medias, saying he knows everything. Would he be able to, you know, live up to the hype that he's kind of created around himself? And he did. He did a fantastic job, and he won his match, you know, relatively comfortably. So I think this is going to be a pretty, this is a big match, to be honest, with Rob Montano, because I know a lot of us, especially Ryan, probably thinks that Montano probably should be in the Schmodown proper already, as it is. And I know he's definitely got high hopes for him becoming the FCL champion at some point. So I think it's going to be a big test for Haddad to, you know, he's against probably one of the top players in the league. So let's see how he goes and see if he can be as successful as he was last time out.
Well, we shall see how it goes, so to speak. Now, to the man who is apparently wearing maybe $1,000, maybe not so $1,000 suit, trying to be a gentleman. I don't know if he's trying to style and profile like Four Horsemen back in the day, but Keith, who do you got on these matches?
I think the undercard is an interesting one because all we have is one match to kind of like build a narrative around this, which would say that Fishburne should win. But I think that there's a lot in Chris's match against Ms. Jordan that there was a bit of a yip situation in round three. You know, being in the situation once, getting the W, he should be a lot better. He should be a lot better prepared. I think all the pressure is on Fishburne because coming out of both of these matches, everyone's talking about Fishburne. Fishburne, Fishburne. Fishburne's the guy. Brad mentioned him last week. So I think Fishburne is the favorite. I expect a better performance from Adams, but I think if Fishburne goes at the same level that he has, he wins. In terms of the main event, Maxwell Haddad has built all this hype around himself before the FCL, during the FCL, you know, up to the point where he is the FCL in his own eyes. He wanted Montano. He's got Montano. And now it's all on him to see whether he's actually fit to do it. I think Montano is what I believe is like the acid test for all competitors now. If they're good enough and they take out Robert, then, you know, they're fit for purpose in this league and moving forward. The one thing I would say is while Montano will and should be the favorite, he hasn't had to hit a five in the FCL. So if Haddad can bring him to his five, you know, we've seen so many people miss fives this season. I have Montano as favorite. Would I be surprised if Maxwell wins? No.
All right. I can see where you're coming from with that. So our special guest, even though I rooted against him during the course of his matchup, I wanted Jindoin to beat the living heck out of you, Sinister One, because you claim to have a sinister syndicate somewhere around the interwebs. I think it's all false. I think it's just a bag of hot air. But Sinister Shimo, I'm just curious, who do you have winning these two respective matchups for next week?
And here I thought I was only going to have to deal with one hostile panelist here today. But the fact of the matter is this. In the undercard match, let's be honest, you've got somebody who looks like they clone the angry video game nerd versus somebody who looks like the love child of Joey Ryan and Glenn Quagmire. But the point of the matter is when it comes down to it, it's all about knowledge and it's all about hunger. Which one of these two is truly the hungriest? And in that regard, I'm going to give the edge to Chris Adams, because when you get right down to it, there is nothing more motivating than wanting to strike out on your own and prove, not to somebody else, but to yourself, that you deserve the spotlight over anybody else. Granted, yes, Fishburne was impressive. Yes, he does have a lot of personality, but again, I think he lets it run a little too wild. Adams, however, has a focus. He has a purpose. He has in his mind what he wants to accomplish. And when somebody has that level of focus and that level of discipline to that energy, that can make all the difference in the world. Now, when it comes to Haddad versus Montano, this is a toss-up, let's be fair. Granted, yes, Robert has been to the big dance before. Haddad's still making his way here in the FCL, making his presence felt to everybody here, letting us know what he's about. However, when it comes right down to it, when you look at late to the party, I think there is one big Achilles heel to both of these competitors, and that is they're just too nice. They seem just so saccharinely sweet that it almost makes me sick in a lot of ways. Don't get me wrong, I'm sure it works for them, but to quote Tony Stark, I don't trust someone without a dark side. And with that matter, I'm going to go with Maxwell Haddad on this one, because I think he is the one who definitely has more to prove than Robert in this case. Not only does he deserve to be in the FCL, but he deserves to be taken into the movie Trivia Schmodown ahead of Robert. And that, I think, is going to prove to be the difference maker here.
Well, we will see what happens with next week in the FCL when these matchups go up. And also, even though I don't like you very much, Shimo, I do respect you. And congratulations on your victory this past week in FCL. So good on you for that. Good on you for that. So we'll find out more with next week in the FCL when those two matches go up. Anyhow, Andrew, take us out.
All right. Once again, it's been an amazing week here on This Week in the FCL. I'm so pleased to have once again been joined by the entire panel of hosts. Ryan coming back with us. He's always busy on the internet, always doing something somewhere. And our special guest, James Shimo, thank you so much for joining us. Some great insights, some great moments, and we had a whole lot of fun talking to you. And I personally would like to invite you to come back anytime. If I need to kick the other guys off, I absolutely will. I understand. I promise you, James. But fans, we, of course, have lots of great action coming your way in This Week in the FCL, but not until next week when we have more matches to break down, when we have more action to talk about and more news to come to you about everything that's happening for you thirsty firsties. We are the hydration that you need, and we're on our way out. So it's that time once again to tell everybody where you can find us. CB, where are you online?
Andrew doesn't have the power to kick anyone off the show, just for the record. But you can find me. You can find me at chrisbarnes_UK on Twitter and at the Movie Barnes on Instagram, and then tweeting mostly from This Week FCL also. Ryan, how about you?
Yes, sir. You can find me everywhere on Twitter and Instagram at RyanRPF5. Check out our YouTube channel known as NerdCulture. Follow us on all across all forms of social media. Simply add It's NerdCulture. New videos are going up each and every week. My podcast, The Nerdcast, where I talk about some of the latest movies I've had a chance to see, is up on Anchor. I just surpassed over 100+ episodes. So if you want to go back, listen to your heart's content, go ahead and do that. New episodes drop each and every week. And despite CB's lovers of Flirtenflaus, I do hope that someone, maybe me, when Brad, Steph, all the executives who are watching and listening to this, realize that I have the suit, I have the personality, I have the drive to become the future of this company and this sport, of being in the FCL. And if you put me in the FCL, my number one goal is to become the FCL champion and bring respect, tradition, back to sports and entertainment within the first class league of the Movie Trivia Showdown. So Brad, where's the belt? Simply, where's the belt, Brad? Other than that, you can find me all across the social media and the interwebs. Thanks for having me.
All right. And of course, as always, I do have to give him his few moments. Keith Kilduff, what are you doing online and where can folks find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at KKilduff Media. And I am also recording from Shimo's grandmother's nicer bedroom on the Opening Pair YouTube channel every week. And also here on This Week in the FCL. Back to you at the desk, Andrew.
Mr. James Shimo, it has been a true pleasure. I'm sure you've got a ton of stuff going on, and I personally want to check out everything that you're doing. I know our fans feel the same. So what do you have going on?
Yes, you can find me on Twitter at Shimo James, spelled S-H-I-M-O. I always say it's Shimo, she as in she's all that, Mo as in Larry Curly. And then also you can find me at Shimonator Productions, which is my YouTube channel. I do some reactions. I've been doing Loki. My buddy Ryan and I have been doing that. We've been doing the Bad Batch as well. I also do live reactions every once in a while to professional wrestling pay-per-views as well. So be on the lookout for those as well.
And it has absolutely been a thrill to have you, Mr. James Shimo. Best of luck moving forward in your FCL career and with your cadre of compatriots. That's right. Will the Sinister Syndicate rise? Will we see some great matchups out of the FCL? Of course we will. And we'll talk about all of it when we come back to see you once again next week on This Week in the FCL.